Well, if you would take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Today is Sunday, October the 10th, 2021. Last week I had mentioned that I believe the most important thing in our lives is our personal relationship with God. Remember, Jesus Christ said, they said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. To love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I mentioned last week that relationships, any kind of relationships, grow, develop, blossom when people spend time together. And this morning, I'd like to spend a little time about spending time with God, building our personal relationship with God. And so, you know, that of course involves spending time with God. And, you know, we all decide how we're going to spend our time. And even if we don't decide how we're going to spend our time every day, we still spend our time. Because time doesn't stop. You know, you could just sit there all day and stare at the ceiling, and that's what you're spending time doing. You know, so we all decide how we're going to spend our time, and so we can decide to spend some time with God. And so how do we spend time with God? Well, two things. We listen to Him, and we talk with Him. And the main way we listen to Him is by reading His words. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, familiar verse, verse 20, knowing this first, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures that we have, God told them what to write. Therefore, they are the words from God. Remember Jesus Christ at one point, I think it's in Matthew, he said, have you never read what the Holy Spirit said to you or spoke to you? And then he quoted a scripture. Jesus Christ was of the opinion that the Scriptures are God speaking to you. And why would they not be? If God told them what to write and they wrote it, then it's words from God, right? Jesus Christ believed that the Scriptures are God speaking to you. Now, I believe it takes humility to take that position. Mm-hmm. When you open the book, start reading the Scriptures, it takes humility to accept that what I'm reading is God speaking to me. And that's why rightly understanding what we read is so important, right? I mean, that's important when we listen to others to understand what they're saying. I mean, we kind of think that's important, right? To understand what someone is saying to us. Well, what about when God is speaking to us? That's very important for us to rightly understand His words. So, reading His word, that's the main way we listen to God, to hear God speaking to us. And of course, in addition to that, there are the manifestations of Holy Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, where God could reveal something to us, and any other way that God would want to speak to us, right? God got Moses' attention with a burning bush. There's a record in the Old Testament of a jackass speaking to someone. It got his attention that day. That doesn't really happen every day for your animal to speak to you. There are other places where angels appeared and spoke for God. But we can listen to God speaking to us every time we read the Scriptures and rightly understand His words. Look at Jeremiah chapter 15. And this might be familiar to you as well. Jeremiah chapter 15. And I've read this verse a number of times. Perhaps you have too. And it's verse 16 of Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." First of all, we understand he didn't literally eat the scrolls, but he digested what God's word said. He assimilated it. And he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And what really struck me as I was looking at this verse in preparing to teach what I'm teaching this morning, I thought about how lousy his circumstances were. He wasn't living an ideal, blessed life that was all sunshine and roses. Just camped out on the beach, enjoying the waves, and just relaxing. Life's beautiful. He was living in hell, basically. God had called him to try to get the leadership in his day and time to return back to the one true God, or they were going to get wiped out. And he was heavily persecuted for it. He was imprisoned for it. He was buried up to his neck in dung. He was put in the stocks. He was put in jail. And yet he said, "Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Which makes me think, no matter what kind of lousy circumstances we can, you know, find ourselves in, and sometimes we do, where does our joy come from? Where does our rejoicing come from? A lot of times not from the circumstances, right? But joy and rejoicing comes from God speaking to us. And I think too often the great value of listening to God's words is overlooked. You know, there's a lot of things that we hear today that are discouraging, depressing even, but God's word is not. "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Jesus Christ said, "Thy word is truth." God does not lie. There's no fake news in this book. This is all true when we rightly understand it. It's absolutely true. There is too often the great value of listening to God's words. It's overlooked. In Timothy, it says, all scripture is profitable to us. It's profitable for my life today. God's word brings us joy and rejoicing. It's the truth, and it's profitable in our everyday lives. Look at Psalm 19, if you would. Back up a bit to Psalm 19. God speaking to us. Psalm 19. We'll start in verse 7, and many times, as I think you know, in especially in the book of Psalms, but also throughout the Old Testament, God's word is referred to a number of different ways: word, law, precepts, statutes, judgments, just different words used referring to God's words. Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Oh, well, isn't that encouraging? "Converting or restoring the soul." Your soul need restoring, reviving, help, your life. "The law of the Lord," God's word, "is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." There it is again. You find yourself in situations where you're not, you know, don't have much joy, don't have much rejoicing. Open the book and let God speak to you, like Jeremiah did. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or reverence of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward.
Wow. God's word speaking to us. Look at the prophet. The great value of God's words when we just open the book and understand what he's saying. We'll see some more. Psalm 119. Almost every verse in Psalm 119 is a reference to God's word. It's a great psalm to read. I would encourage you this week to just read Psalm 119. I read it again this morning and I was just like, so blessed, so encouraged, so smothered with God's great love and his encouragement. Read it this week sometime. If we have more time, maybe we'd read the whole thing this morning, but let's start in, I want us to read a few verses of Psalm 119, 97. Isn't it interesting that almost every verse in this psalm refers to God's word, and it's the longest psalm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a coincidence. Oh, no, it's not, because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God told them what to write. And God said, you know what? This is going to be a long one. This is about my word. Let's make this the longest one there is. Longest by far, too. It's not like, oh, there's another one that's kind of longest by far. It just stands out. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Yeah, there's going to be trouble around always till we get gathered. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
God can direct our steps. Which way do I go? Where do I turn? What do I do? God can certainly direct our steps. Boy, some great stuff that we just read. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. The Word of God is God speaking to us, to help us, to encourage us, to heal us, to teach us. And God also, as we're seeing here, has taken the time to remind us of how profitable and the great value of his words are. We should probably automatically assume that. If we have words from the creator of the heavens and the earth who loves us, well, of course they'd be valuable. Of course there'd be profit to us. And yet God, in his words, so many places reminds us of how valuable they are and how profitable they are. In Proverbs chapter 3, my son, or my daughter, forget not my law, and again, law, commandments, his word, but let thine heart keep my commandments, because that's your duty, and that makes you a good Christian, and then I will love you even more. Now look at the prophet. For length of days and long life and peace shall they, his word, add to thee. Who doesn't want length of days, long life, and peace? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear or reverence the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel
and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And sometimes when you read God's word, you're corrected, right? You're reproved. You know, you ever open the Bible, start reading, and go, ooh, okay, get me back on the right path here. Sure. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man or woman that finds wisdom, and the one that gets understanding. God's wisdom, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Boy, just from what we've read, a little bit of what we read so far this morning, I mean, the great value of God's words. By just opening the book, reading and understanding God's word. I'd like you to go to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119 again. You know, Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and, anybody remember? Healed them. The word of God is healing. His words are healing. He sent his word and healed them. I wanted you to see this in Psalm 119. Go to verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Psalm 119, verse 50. And when we are in affliction, we certainly need some comfort, right? Mm-hmm. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The Hebrew word for quicken means to restore, to revive, to bring what is needed. Quicken means makes alive. Old English, quicken, makes alive. And this word means to restore, to revive. Well, what do we need restored or revived? Physical, mental? Look at this wonderful verse. This is my comfort. In my affliction, thy word has quickened me. And also verse 107. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. And we pray according to the words that God has already spoken to us. You know, God said, you know, that he sent his word to heal us. He said, we just read that his word revives us, restores us. So when we pray to God, God, restore me, heal me according to your words, what you already told me. Isn't that wonderful? Gosh. Well, how about Hebrews chapter 4? So we're still talking about building our relationship with God by, number one, listening to him, listening to his words, letting him speak to us. And that takes time, doesn't it? You've got to sit down, open the book, and read. You know, or maybe we make the time to, you know, take a class that would help us to understand his word more. Sure, why not? This verse in Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God, verse 12, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful. The words that God speaks to us are powerful words, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Reverend Cummins, in his working translation, translates this verse. Certainly, the word of God is living and powerfully active, and sharper than every double-edged sword, even penetrating to the dividing between soul and spirit, and also between joints and marrow. It is able to judge between the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This wonderful word of God, God speaking to us. You know, the book of Romans says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. How valuable the words of God are to us. And so when we read God's word, you know, sometimes we need to stop and remind ourselves, oh, this is God speaking to me. These are words that God had written down to be able to speak to me. To be able, I can listen to God. I can sit down and listen. Open my ears. What do you want to tell me? God's, and you know what? As I mentioned this before, that takes humility. You know, there are good, sincere Christians who read the Bible out of duty. I'm a Christian, you know, so I should read the Bible. Well, how much have you read the Bible? You only read 5 minutes? You should be reading a half an hour. Okay, whatever you have. This is my duty. It's not my duty. It's my Father speaking to me. I would like to listen to what he has to say. And it takes humility to approach the scriptures that, yes, God is speaking to me. Do you know when the very first part of God's word was in written form? Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, right? Go to Joshua chapter 1. I think you know that when Moses died, Joshua took over, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that God told Joshua, chapter 1, right after Deuteronomy, you read this whole first chapter sometime, but I just want to look at verse 8. This is part of what God told Joshua. Well, we ought to look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God didn't say, because that's your duty. He said, so you'll be blessed, so you'll prosper. And he said, this book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God wanted him to succeed. This is Joshua, a guy who has been Moses' right-hand man, faithful minister for 40 years. That's faithful, isn't it? 40 years by Moses' side. And not only that, but when Moses died, he's the one that God said, all right, you're going to take over for Moses. Would you consider him to be a mature believer? God picked him to take Moses' place. He's been faithful for 40 years. And what did God tell him? Get your head in the book every day. Every day. So how mature does one need to be before, no, I don't really, you know, I'm just walking with God so big, and I know so much Bible, and I've been around a long time. When you get to the point of Joshua's stature, then you need to get your head in the book every day. Isn't that humbling, kind of? Yeah, it is. Oh, my goodness. It's really cool. So that's what God told Joshua to do. Now, for us as born-again ones, we have not just the first 5 books of the Bible. We got the whole Bible in our lap, just right here, the whole Bible. And go to 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 3. For us, we're so blessed to have the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. But there is a section of this whole Bible that is very important to us as born-again ones. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, at the end of his life, Peter is writing this. God's telling him what to write. And in verse 15 of chapter 3, 2 Peter, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you.
Again, holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Galatians, you know, what I'm sharing, I didn't receive it from man. It's not mine. Came by revelation. And we know that the Apostle Paul wrote the seven church epistles. This is what Peter's referring to. As also, verse 16, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle. There are some people, Peter's writing, that are having a little bit of a hard time with what Paul wrote. They're wrestling with it. And then he went on to say, as they do also the other scriptures. Oh, I get it. Unto their own destruction. Peter's basically saying these people are having a problem with what Paul has written and sent out. They got a problem with the other scriptures too. You therefore, beloved, verse 17, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter is directing them to the seven church epistles, to the writings of Paul, because the seven church epistles are specific scripture to those that are born again. It's in those scriptures Father talks to us and tells us who we are, what we have, what we've been given in the new birth, so that we could know about all these wonderful new things that we have as a result of being born again once. And so at the end of his life, Peter's like, get into those writings by Paul. And he says, grow in grace. And you know, we talked about this last week. This epistle begins with grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And the epistle ends with grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's words to us. So in building a relationship with God, we spend time with him by listening to him. And the way we listen to God is to open his word and read. Let him speak to you. And it's always a good idea when you read the Bible to remind yourself of that. This is God speaking to me. God teach me something. And then the second way with a relationship is we speak to him. Go to Mark chapter 1 if you would. That's how any relationship grows, right? We listen and we speak. Mark chapter 1. Gospel of Mark chapter 1. Actually, keep your finger there and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We were just over there. Where are you going? I wanted to read 1 Peter 3, so. First Peter chapter 3. We build our relationship with God by allowing God to speak to us, to listen to him, and then also by speaking to him, which is prayer, right? And you know what? That takes humility also, because we can't see him, right? Well, so you sit down and pray sometime. All right, I'm going to pray to the Father. Don't see him. You know, if I was going to talk to Ed, I'd see Ed or be on the phone with him. Hey, Ed, how's it going? You know, and but when you speak to God, we don't see him. That takes humility. And that's why this verse here in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears
are open unto their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It says the same thing in Psalm 34, that God hears us when we pray. And I've mentioned this before when my kids were growing up, when they'd go, "Oh my God," I go, "Are you praying?" "What?" "He's listening. You just said, 'Oh my God.'" "And you're saying what to him?" "Well, I rather..." "Okay, well, say something else." You know, a little reverence for God. Whenever we speak to God, he is listening to us. Isn't that humbling? It's amazing, and it's also humbling that the creator of the heavens and the earth would always be tuned into us. Even if it's just a short prayer. Whether it's praising him, asking him, thanking him, he hears us every time we pray. Look at Mark chapter 1 now. Maybe you're still there. It's so humbling to think about it. Jesus Christ in Mark 1:35, it says, and again, this is Father talking to us. You know, the things that we read in the Gospels about Jesus Christ, those are the things that God wanted us to know. It's not every single incident that ever happened to Jesus Christ, right? That'd take a lot of books. All the records in the Old Testament that we read about events that happened, those are the ones that God wanted to speak to us about. It's not every event that ever happened, ever. So God wanted us to know this. So this is God telling us. Guess what Jesus did? In verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." You know, we were talking a minute ago about Joshua being a mature believer. Jesus Christ got up early in the morning to go and talk to his father. Before anybody else got up. If you keep reading, then they found him. Like, "Where's he at? He must have got up early. Let's go find him. What's he doing?" Oh, my goodness. For Jesus Christ, prayer, talking to God, must have been important, right? One might think that, gee, what did he need to pray about? He was the Son of God. He demonstrated God's power like no one ever had before. He walked perfectly. He always did the Father's will. What do you need to pray about? Obviously, he made time to pray. And this is not the only place in the Scriptures that talks about Jesus Christ praying. Remember the one in, was it in Luke, where he prayed all night? All night in prayer? All night? Wow. So there's lots in God's Word about prayer, and we're not going to look at all those verses. I mean, we could spend hours looking in God's Word about prayer. So why did God put so much in the Scriptures about praying? What is praying? It's talking to him. Because he wants to hear from us. He wants the relationship to grow and blossom. So he gave us this big book with lots of words that we could read that he's speaking to us. And then there's so much in the Scriptures about encouraging us to pray, to talk to him, to pour out our heart before him, to cry unto him, to thank him, to praise him. He wants to hear from us. And so listening to him and talking to him, just like any other relationship, takes time. Well, I got time. I got 24 hours every day. You know, maybe instead of 8 hours of staring at the ceiling, maybe I could just sit down and chat, open his book and listen to him. We're going to close in Psalm 55. Spending time with God, listening to him and talking to him. And in Psalm 55, verse 16. "As for me," Psalm 55, 16, "as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Because his ears are always open to us. "He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Amen. God is a God of deliverance, and we cry unto him.
And so just like any other relationship, it takes time to build it, and our relationship grows as we allow him to speak to us, take the time to listen to him, and take the time to speak to him. And, you know, the cool thing is we can speak to God in two ways. I will pray with the understanding, and I will pray also with the Spirit. We can speak in tongues and have that wonderful relationship as well. So that's a little bit about spending time with God. Father, we're so thankful for your wonderful word that you had written, that, Father, we could hear from you, that we could learn, that we could have wisdom, understanding, be warned, be comforted, be healed, be encouraged, all by your wonderful words. Thank you for being such a good God, a loving God, and a kind God. A God who desires not only to speak to us, but a God who desires to hear from us. How blessed we are. We thank you and we praise you this morning. I ask you to bless everyone on this, on the phone hookup and here in this room, and anyone that'll hear the recording later. Thank you for your great love for each one of us and how blessed we are with all that we have as born-again ones through the accomplished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.